Words from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all peoples a feast of choice food, a feast of the best wines with the best cuts of meat and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that covers all peoples, the burial cloth stretched over all nations. He has swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Surely this is our God. We waited for him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Amen. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the Holy Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The man who carried a stick of wood up that mount to Calvary to be pierced in the heart with a spear, to be jeered and taunted, for the sun to darken on his body, the body of its own creator, and to be laid in the tomb of a mere human being. All of that is over. Life and light has come. Christ has broken those bonds. The prisoner, our substitute, has proved an empty grave and an empty death. Are you hungry for words of rich wisdom, for words that will outlast this life, for the words that give us the meaning of life, rich with fare and heavy, heavy with choice and beauty and vintage, like fine wine, like the best cuts of meat? Well, this is it, friends. Those of us who know man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Today is a day to eat and eat full. It's our Easter dinner today. It's not the breakfast we ate. It's not what's being prepared for your brunch today. It's not this evening. This was it. You just heard it. After all, death had a little bit of a swallow that special weekend. Just a little swallow. But it's really a big gulp for God. And we're going to see exactly why. It's one small swallow for death, one big gulp for God, really for mankind. But first, I want to turn your attention to a news story that I recently read. A woman in New York, Long Island, was mourning over her parents' grave. She was stooping down to adjust a bouquet of flowers at St. Charles Resurrection Cemetery when all of a sudden her feet started to sink into the ground. It's horrifying. She realized she was literally sinking into the soil. And as she sank down, her head bumped into the tombstone and she grabbed it for dear life, but still she kept sinking. It seemed to her like she was being swallowed into the grave. Literally. This really happened just a couple of weeks ago, and how frightening. This poor woman. It was dusk. There was no one to hear her calls. She was really pretty lonely mourning. And now she's in a lawsuit with the cemetery. Apparently what happened was the grave next to her parents' tomb was being backfilled and some of the soil just hadn't settled yet. And so there she was, stuck, apparently swallowed up in death. What horror. How terrible. I can't imagine what that must have felt like. And yet I can, a little bit. Because life as we know it seems to be consumed by death. Because death surrounds us and death seems to fill this world of sin. It seems to be the end. It seems to be all we know. It seems to cast doubt in our hearts to make us wonder, well, what is beyond the grave? Maybe I sink in too. Maybe death swallows me up. And it happens in our own families. It happens to our own friends. A school teacher has retired for just a couple of years, and all of a sudden, she's diagnosed with cancer, and 3 months, she's gone. A pastor bumps his head late Saturday night, and by Monday, he's dead. A wife cares for her ailing husband for years and years, and it seems like he's at the grave's door, he's at death's door, and all of a sudden she gets ill, and she rests in the arms of the Lord before him. What kind of a world do we live in where death comes and attacks when we can't even see it coming? How awful and how consuming death seems to be. And so it is quite rich to hear the words of our text. As you see, there is one problem before we get to rising again. We understand the horrors of death and how it swallows us up, but the real problem is the sin that ushered death into this world. The real problem is the immorality, the unethical actions of humankind, the Ten Commandments that lay broken. The real problem is sinners. And what we really need is forgiveness of our sins. But wait, that's exactly what we have today. That's exactly what we saw on Good Friday. That's exactly why Jesus died on the cross. That's exactly why Jesus was perfect for us. That's exactly why when we see an empty tomb, it's not just the beginning of some new story. It's wrapping up some promises that have been fulfilled as Jesus went along. And as we stoop there with Peter wondering, we know just as Peter really knew, based on Jesus' very own word, that this is for us. This is not just for Christ, but this is for you and for me to eat and drink fully and richly. What's really interesting is that this is an Old Testament passage. That God swallowed up death. He's talking 800 years or so before Jesus even came in his prophet Isaiah. It's like he's built it in. It's like it's just another piece to the puzzle. And I'll tell you, when it says, on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that covers all peoples, the burial cloth that stretched over all nations. The word in the Hebrew, I guess you could say destroy, but it's swallow. It says he will swallow the shroud that covers all peoples, the burial cloth stretched over all nations. Isn't that so vivid? Whatever you wore at the last funeral, the dark veil, or maybe there were dark shrouds covering furniture or pictures or hanging somewhere, or maybe you just had sunglasses so that they couldn't see the tears. And our text says God will swallow those things. How picturesque. Kind of a strange image, but he swallows them right up because of the next verse. He says, it doesn't say now in verse 8, he will swallow up death. It says he has swallowed up death forever. When the prophet spoke, sometimes they used this past tense. He went from he will swallow, now he says he has swallowed. How can Isaiah say that? Jesus hasn't risen from the dead. But in the prophet's mind, it's as sure as if it had ever happened. It's so predictably certain that the prophet can say he has swallowed up death because Isaiah understands that the empty tomb is coming. Maybe not as fully as we do when we look back at that tomb, but he understands and he knows and he can say he has swallowed up death forever and swallowed it whole. I mean, where could death go? Swarmed by Christ's righteousness. How could death hold him? How could death pin him down? It couldn't. Because this was someone who died and wasn't a sinner. This was someone who died to share his perfection. This was someone who died to break that system that sinners go and they die. This was someone who died so that faith could bring life. And so death was engulfed and utterly digested by the empty tomb. That's also what they didn't see that morning. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't see death engulfed and consumed and lost. And for now, we feel its bitterness. We taste its tears when they run down our cheeks. And there's more promise for things like that. He swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth. What kind of shame? Well, it's a shame when people say, you think there's life after death? You think you can really know? You think your body will rise again? You really think this is going to happen? God is going to take away those ridicules, those insults, and that mockery. And hopefully he'll take it away for those people ridiculing, so that one day they might see the truth and understand the certainty that death is swallowed up in victory. Now, there are a lot of gods out there, aren't there? You can put food and drink before gods of wood and stone, but those things will never be drunk. Those will never be eaten. But this is our God. See what the people say? Surely, this is our God. We waited for him and he saved us. We waited for him 3 days and he saved us. This is our God. We waited for him through the death of our loved ones and he saved us. This is our God. We waited for him our whole lives long and he saved us. This is our God. We waited for him to swallow up death and he saved us. This is our God. Don't you want to sing those praises too? Isn't that your statement and confession this morning? This is my God. When death comes and scares and knocks and afflicts and maybe even takes for a moment, you still say, this is my God. He's brought me out of death. He's swallowed death up. And death is now only a portal, only a gateway, only the door to all of the richest of fare and the life everlasting that comes for you and for me. This is our God, God for us. Right now, there's a woman in a lawsuit with Resurrection Cemetery. But you and I are no longer in any lawsuit. The case is settled. So is the score. Death has nothing to say. Final victory that said, it is finished. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.